Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Mansadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Greetings to our guests and assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal. Oh, I'm doing great, brother. Doing great. That gentleman you gave me to do the work on my house has been coming along fine, and I'm just happy as I can be.
Oh man, excellent. That's what it was all about. Well, brother, you know, we've been off for 3 weeks and enjoying our vacation. I hope you are sort of renewed and.
Brother.
You know, I know I feel nice and renewed and back to ready to discuss doing business, especially in the African American community. But you know, I've really been on vacation. You know, for you and I, especially, I can speak for myself. You still move around. When you're moving around, you're moving around in your own African American communities. I don't care where you're moving to. You're still moving around more or less in your own communities. And saying that to brother, you still see where you go into your own communities and you still don't see business participation in the African-American communities, even though you see a lot of money's being spent. It's just not being exchanged in the African-American community. And I find that to be a great big disappointment because, like we've been saying for a long time, the best investments in this country for anyone, but especially African-Americans, is in their own communities. And the reason, of course, we say that is because in the African-American communities, your community does not develop business-wise. Therefore, the cost of doing business and to open up businesses is not that much, is not as high as would be if you went uptown or the so-called downtown areas that someone else developed other than you as an African-American. Other communities that's not your communities. They are going to make that cost quite expensive for you. So it's going to be quite expensive for you to participate in doing businesses outside of your communities. But why do business outside of your communities? When we see the statistics that's telling us that our consumer spending is more than $1.7 trillion, and we're only talking about 2020, the year 2020. So again, that's enough right there to say that how valuable, how powerful our dollar is, which is one of the topics of our subjects of our conversation this evening. It shows not only how powerful our black dollar is, but how wealthy we could be if we took and bought that black dollar directly back into our own communities. And you can only do that by doing what Black Belt Wall Street did years ago. And again, now you're talking about going back to what Booker T. Washington and an organization that he put together, a Black Belt Wall Street. And Black Belt Wall Street, of course, is the all the many states starting from Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, all of those cotton gin states where African Americans was under the laws at that time where they had sharecropping laws. And of course, you would know that was throughout the South, but because of the Greenwood District, which was later known Maine Black Wall Street, because of all these many states that made up what was known as the Black Belt Wall Street District. And those districts, as though many of those states to include Illinois, Chicago, New York City, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., places where, again, the wealth of the Greenwood Black Belt Wall Street was able to invest their funds. And from those investments, all of those different states, as a matter of fact, when you start talking about a migration during the, I think, what was that, late 40s or 50s, at that time.
Right, exactly.
At that time, that's why the African American was able to leave the South, and all because the debts was paid off. And it was done by, again, our own black dollars and the distribution of those black dollars and the monies that was being made from those black dollars. Brothers and sisters, so you started talking about destruction why Tulsa was destroyed. You talk about a system that was setting the African Americans not only on a course of independence, but independence that white folks found themselves being inferior to. And, of course, that's why they even admitted that they killed our people and that movement. Simply because it was economically over their head and way and giving too much power to those who they felt that should be an inferior to them. So again, the history goes on, but like I was saying, that Black Belt District is something that can't be stopped. It may have been slowed down, but again, it's awakening itself as we speak. And so Black Wall Street, and they tell me, yeah, we know that these white folks and stuff like that is trying to claim, but they can claim all they want to. We're the ones who are going to build what we started. And we're doing it right now as we speak, because Selma, Alabama is our example of what we're going to be doing.
Yes.
All over the country. Selma, Alabama is our example, and that example is for those who come on board first is going to also show the example of wealth African American in a higher direction. And because many of you saw the the summary, proposed sales summary of the shopping center in Selma, Alabama, that we're proposing to buy, and we're going to buy it. But again, we have to be, and we're looking to be each other's assets, so we don't have to go to banks. And when I say each other's assets, putting up these funds ourselves where we don't have to take loans and go to banks. We can do this simply by pooling our funds together and buying, again, businesses in the black communities. And the thing about it, you're buying them at an affordable cost. But we have to do this because others realize that this is being done, and now they're buying into, and the reason they're buying into, again, the black communities, and they're buying into Selma as we speak. We started it, but they heard about it. Others are buying in, and now the cost is going up. But there are certain lands that we have purchased, and this shopping center is one. I am opening my lines up. Everybody that can hear me, you are able to speak right back because I do have all the mics open as you call in. So, Brother Aziz, again, like I said, we're back from vacation, It was a enjoyable time off, but at the same time, like I said, going into my own communities, traveling around, brother, I see economical possibilities all over our country. But again, I just don't see where we're taking the advantage of using our pooling powers as investors to do what we must do in our own communities. Because if we don't do it, believe me, others are already closing in on us. And they're coming in also in large groups. It's just not just one person. They're going to buy up your communities, and it's being done already in very large groups. So we're putting our groups together, and we're saying, no, we're going to keep our own communities. And that $1.7 trillion consumer spending, we're going to bring it on back where we can all be appreciative and now let me go ahead and say it, wealthy from and be like those of the Black Belt District and Black Wall Street, which again was given the name by that Black Belt District, and that name officially was given by none other than Booker T. Washington. But we'll be getting into much more of that history as we bring in some of those who know what they're talking about. I know so much because I've read, I've been there, but again, there are those that I do know that are not with us tonight. They said they may be coming on, and of course, those are those investors who have already purchased a large parts of Selma already. So again, I'm going to be opening my mics. And again, we know that there are many subjects. So we talk about the investments in Selma. We'd like to hear about it. But at the same time, we're interested in your business participation, what your business is doing, somebody else's business. We're talking business here this evening, brothers. We also have to talk politics. Because Brother Aziz, as you know, those insurrectionists, as we call them, have been invited to come right back. And so they're back here in D.C. again talking about whatever it is they're planning on doing. But so that's something else that we may have to talk about and make certain that we understand what this insurrectionist stuff is all about, because we do know what happened to our people 100 years ago in a place called Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I'm going to open our mics up. And like I said, everybody that if they can hear you and I, Brother Aziz, before I do any comments you want to make, Brother Aziz, and then I'm going to just open our mics right up to all of our listeners.
Yeah, so I was going to say it's good to be back and back into the mix of starting to promote and getting African-Americans to promote and do business with one another, as well as ideas that will help different communities grow. But the big thing is investing in your community. As you had mentioned, when you go around the country, you and I are from two different sections of the country. And I can say when I go down there in Alabama, in Mobile area, Fairhope, Alabama, Mobile, right there together. There's a lot of businesses there, but very, very few African-American businesses, of maybe one or two attorneys, maybe one dentist, things like that, you know, and no grocery stores, a couple mom and pops here and there. We just don't have, other than that, the other businesses in our community are run by other than ours, as well as real estate in our communities. There's a lot of real estate in our communities that's available if we invest our funds together and buy up this real estate. And in buying up this real estate, renovating it, or either tearing the structures down there and building something else, that would be of a benefit to the community. These are things that we learned from Black Belt Wall Street in Selma from Brother Harris and his company, Samsung, Ramjan company, they're doing a great work in showing, and they're trying to rebuild in Selma as an example. Because right now today, Brother Bilal, we know what's happening in Tulsa. And it's going to have to be a regrouping there again to claim some of that heritage back, as well as have businesses there, you know. But in Selma, Alabama, these brothers and sisters of investors, African-American investors, have taken a major jump in buying up properties there in Selma. They're right in the position that bought it by the mall, and then some other structures that are close to a big museum that the United States Capitol Park is building there as a museum in memory of our brother that crossed that bridge and was attacked by the dogs, attacked by the police, all the brothers and sisters that crossed there. So we want to let people see how our people, how people have already got together and invested with a foresight, with an eyesight and a vision that is a vision that, if I might say it, Brother Bilal, that I've seen in an African newspaper called the Muslim Journal some years ago. It showed a downtown area almost looked like Wall Street with our businesses all over. You know, butcher shops, grocery stores, dentists, law offices, fashion stores, everything we need, insurance companies, everything we needed in our community, hardware stores, Ace Hardware, hardware store. But all of these things is what I see, what our friends are doing down in Selma. And you know, and I'd like to let as many of our brothers and sisters know about this as possible, because if something like this doesn't come around that often, wherein Sam Jam Realty Company with Brother Sam Harris and his wife Brenda, you know, they're real estate experts, and they know what they're doing in buying up this property, their vision. And Brother Bilal and I are on this vision. We can see what they're doing, and it's something that we dream of, brother, but they're doing it. They're not dreaming. They're putting their monies in there. They're investing, and they're buying something that not only is going to be of a value to us in the future and our ancestors as well as us, they are doing something that's going to make history again, a place where they couldn't have nothing, do nothing, wasn't able to establish any businesses in that, and was denied all types of just regular rights that an American citizen has. Now we've come back and seen that turnaround. And I also understand that Tuskegee University, which is not that far from Selma, they're going to be active in some things going on there in Selma, too. And hopefully, through connections like that, people at the university and them talking to their parents and other African-Americans, and we hope and we try every week through the New Africa Business Association in Washington, D.C., that we can bring about and touch some of our listeners to where they'll hear something that Brother Bilal or I say, that it will come for reason with them and turn on a spark or light in them that will say, hey, you know, they're right. Investing in real estate, investing in buying, it's just not going and buying a piece of real estate. It's getting buying the real estate with a plan in mind. We're not talking about pulling someone's name out of the hat band and you've won. We're talking about buying real estate up and then putting stores in there. One of the stores, I understand, is going to be developed there is going to be something like a coffee shop with different coffee brands and things from around the world. Not something that they have to pay a franchise fee to or whatever. Establishing a legitimate coffee shop, just like Starbucks or other ones that we know of that do things like that. So investing in a company in the Black Belt Wall Street, Selma, investing in this program with FamGen Realty Company, it's going to be something that you can say that, hey, I did the right thing. And as more and more join in with this movement, it's not only in Selma. If you have the power and ability and the understanding of how to bring people together in your community that's willing to invest and put money together and buy properties, buy businesses, put businesses in your community that you know the people need and use, then do that. Do that. We're not just talking about, as Mr. Harris and Ms. Brenda came on and said, they're not just talking about investing in Selma. You can do it in your place. But right now, they're beaming
brother
in Isaac, on
brother,
Selma.
Brother Isaiah, if you don't mind, I'd like to just, while you're talking about Mr. and Mrs. Harris, we do have to emphasize that they are part of an organization, investment, and that group consists of real estate, investment bankers, real estate brokers, financial planners. And as a matter of fact, that's why they're not on with us tonight. They're talking about they may come on and just say hi to us, but at the same time, I guess Mr. and Mrs. Harris, I would say as far as the chair of our organization, I would look at those two. We don't really have a bunch of titles, but at sometimes you have to put somebody right there where they need to be, and those two need to be right there in our league. But those two and all of us are a part of investment, professional investment banking groups. And so again, right now, there are many professional African American groups. As a matter of fact, they're meeting right now. And what I was talking about, the example of what's going to happen in Selma, these groups are meeting right now because not only Selma, but other cities that are also these type of investments and this type of growth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that many of you who are listening went on and looked at the summary that we sent you of the proposal that's being made in Selma. And of course, if you have, you may have questions, and that's what we're going to open these mics up to. But when it comes to our the Black Belt movement, that Black Belt movement is consists of many organizations. And many other professional organizations are all getting together and making business discussions. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the Black Belt movement all over this country in the South is where our powers and our production and many of our investments are going to be going. So again, we open the mics up. Our listeners, like I said, the same way you're hearing us, we can hear you. So again, we welcome your comments. Our mics I've opened the mics. We welcome your comments. Okay, Brother Aziz, we don't have anybody who has any comments at this time. So, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
This is Sister Rahim in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
How you been?
Nice to be heard. Right now I'm in Baltimore, not in Tulsa right now, but I was just listening, to your comments and how valuable, your comments are, because we really do have to conserve, investing. So I'm supposed to be on the prayer and fasting line, but I just wanted to pipe in and let you all know that I'm still in the struggle. Somehow, I'm still
yes,
in the struggle.
Yes.
The only thing is that we just have to be ready for the tricks and lies because you know they're coming, and that's what happened to us in Tulsa when we were just trying to deal with the people. The other folk are all about controlling. They want to control everything. So as long as you allow them to control, mm-hmm. you will have no problems. But when you don't want to allow them to control, then you're going to have the tricks and lies are going to come in. And that's what happened to us, you know, the tricks and lies, and they even got into the funding that we were trying to get. They got into that and wiggled it down to Greenwood. And so we were not able to do anything on a large scale, but there were a lot of people who came because they had the money to do the publicity and, you know, to make everything look peaches and cream. But that doesn't help, you know, but now that event is over and it has not helped North Tulsa one iota where the real people live. And there are people in North Tulsa who are trying to buy as much property as they can because right now property is cheap and they know it's going to go up. So folk are, you know, wrestling, trying to move into. And they move in. They don't even move in. They may move their cousins in or somebody in to hold the property until the neighborhood changes, and then they'll come in. They've only moved up on the hill where they used to live, and after the massacre, they kind of faded away in the houses. You know, we don't get the salaries that we can get to fix the property up, so the property just sits and nobody is able to do anything with it. But there are a lot of lessons we need to learn, and I guess we're learning them every day as we go by. And one of the things I've learned is, as Brother Bilal said, you know, Black Wall Streets were like all over the country. We just didn't realize that's what they were. You know, one was right in my – I grew up in one town and raised my children in one town in Turner Station in Baltimore County. We had the exact same thing. But back in the – first thing the European realized was that the trades that our fathers had, they didn't have. And so our men were able to maintain their families because they had these trades. So they took the trade equipment out of the schools and took it into the other schools and made the salary so bad that the men couldn't afford to take care of their homes, and the white man could get on welfare, but the black woman got on welfare. Her husband had to leave the house. So it's just all kinds of tricks that they came up with, and as a result of that. You know, and the family is the foundation, as you all know. The family is the foundation. So the family was actually, you know, the woman had to go to work. Then our children got to be what they call latchkey kids. The father's gone. The children were raising themselves, and it just got to be a big issue. So we know most of the tricks and lies now. Now we just got to figure out how to be able to do what we can do without the tricks and the lies, or get around the tricks and the lies. So I thank the law for what you brothers are doing and how you're progressing. You can't do anything without money. You're harping that, and that was the biggest downfall we had. We didn't have any money. So you didn't do anything without any money. And I tried to do it, but it didn't work. Because people like glitter and glamour, and, you know, our people, you know, they came from kings and queens, so they want to, you know, that's what they're attracted to. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn, you know, how to be knowledgeable about the tricks and the lies. So I thank you, brothers, for what you're doing, and I pray Allah you'll continue, you know, to keep on keeping on. I'll stay in touch as best I can. Thanks for letting me share. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like I'm sorry, Sister Raima. And let me just say, Sister Raima, what you were saying as far as the the low income and the welfare situation. You see, yes, that type of inhumanity is something that is presented to us. But you see, like, I think when it comes to the example of low income and then your high production, I think when we go back and just simply look at what was happening during the time of the sharecropping, and again, this is what Black Belt Wall Street was able to destroy. Sharecropping was no legislated body stopped white folks from owning black folks by putting them in debt and having them to work, and then their store debt was always higher than their earnings, so they couldn't go nowhere by law. It was the Black Wall Street district that bought out those contracts and freed up those black folks and took them out of that low income situation. You see, this is what I mean about going back to what made you successful. Even though someone tried to destroy it, you look back to what your success is that keeps you from being put into a position where your humanity is disgraced. I'm saying that when you say your humanity, and you're talking about your entire family. And a man cannot have a worse disgrace than having someone to disgrace his family. And this is done, I mean, the African American, I mean, my goodness, our families has been disgraced for hundreds of years. So again, but we know that the example of what Black Belt Wall Street and Wall Street, the Greenwood District, which Black Belt Wall Street give its crown to by name in this place, Wall Street, because the Greenwood District was able to operate the same as the Black Belt Wall Street was able to operate. And so when it came to, like Brother Aziz was talking about, banks and insurance companies and financial institutions, I mean, at that time, we owned our own airports. There wasn't anything that the Black Belt District and Black Wall Street didn't own at that time, showing self-sufficiency. And so, again, I am saying, look at our own history, but then look at our own success. That's what I mean about putting black businesses in our own communities, putting our own businesses in our own communities, and doing what we know. Again, $1.7 trillion is what we spent last year, and from that, sisters, I can tell you, during last year's Christmas a shopping period, and that was from what they call Black Friday, you know, that's right during that Thanksgiving period, right on up to the New Year's, I think there was nothing less than $100 billion spent in just hair in just that short period of time. Aziz, are the statistics, are we right?
Yeah, we had talked about that, you know.
And just the reason we talked about it is because at that time, we were doing a great big business. That's when the China market was open.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a sister. She got rich in about two years selling hair to a black beauty shop. But see, this is what the Orientals are doing to us, is what that sister showed we could be doing for ourselves. Was that? Go there and buy that hair yourself. Why pay $100 a piece that you can buy for $5? Just go over there and buy it yourself and buy it in bulk. That's what the New Africa Business Association, we have these connections. And brothers and sisters, that's why we ask that network marketing and identifying your businesses, that's what we're all about. And the reason we want to do it is because we want to do business with each other. We want to bring that black dollar back into our communities. And we want to do that by any means necessary at this point. So again, I ask you, we got proposals out there. Did you see the summary that we put out? And let me just say also, you were talking about a few moments ago about the buildings that we have already acquired in Selma.
Yeah.
Yes, the investment groups that we were talking about that that all came together. Yes, they did buy buildings in Selma, and they was very fortunate. They bought the buildings that they purchased, and the reason they were so fortunate is because you were talking about the center, but the John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, and I think there's a beautiful picture of him in the email that we sent out, and you'll see the Congressman John Lewis as you open up the email, and that's before you see the shopping center that we're proposing. So take a look at that. But Senator John Lewis, his Memorial Theater is going to be built directly in front of the two buildings that we have purchased. Those buildings we're going to renovate. They're going to take it up in the air, and there's going to be many, many different conveniences for that huge crowd that we know that will be coming to honor that memorial that the federal government is building. And that's why all
right.
these businesses are coming back to Selma, that they had abandoned the city, but they know that these things are being built there, and they know that the world is getting ready to come there to honor that memorial. This, you see, brothers and sisters, this honor is for African-Americans. But white folks, again, wants to, it's for royalties and monies. They're coming back because they know this is going to happen. But no, we've owned a couple of buildings, and now we want to own that shopping center. And that shopping center is already bringing us revenue. And, you know, revenue is after expense. And right now, if you look at the summary of that proposal, that shopping center is already have revenue of $150,000 a year. And so again, that's $150,000 a year. We still have contracts on that, on those that property. So those contracts, they're going to be paying us for a few years. But we that the property sets on almost 5 acres. So our renovation is going to call for the first major hotel is going to be built. And so, see, this is the type of investments your monies is getting rid. That's why I'm saying, look and go look at that, because when the brothers come back here in a week or two, they're going to be going to closing on that property, and so we still have the opportunities to be owners of what some of these guys have put large amounts of money. But I'm saying with the New Africa Business Association, we have it as to where we all can be owners of the hotel and all of the businesses that's going to be built down there. And again, our entry fee at this time, we need, and I know the application is $5,000, but the New Africa Business Association, I've made a deal where we can have a floor of the same $25,000, but we can put groups of five together as to where we can come in on a $5,000 floor. So again, I'm not asking anybody to ever send a dime to the New Africa Business Association. We don't want your monies. We just need to, we need your pledge to know that when we are ready to go to closing on the properties that we all say we want to buy, then we want to know that that pledge is there. So when we go to closing, that's when we will need your monies. But right now, we need your opinions. We need your comments. We need you to look into what we're talking about. Then, of course, the new get in touch with the New Africa Business Association. You can do that by going to the New Africa Business Association.com, Washington, D.C. You can send us an email. That's nabassc@gmail.com. Again, nabassc@gmail.com. And again, give us your comments or pledges or any other information that we need to talk about in private. Right now, a lot of this information that we're giving is over the air because we want to inform you. But when it comes to some of our private conversations, again, you'll be able to be on our email systems as to where we can give you and we can start having our personal and private meetings. But this is the type of investments that we're talking about doing. And right now, Selma is our first example. Brothers and sisters, our mics are still open. So we welcome your comments. Our mics are still open.
Walaikum Assalam. Walaikum Assalam, brother.
Walaikum Assalam.
Nice. We'd like to say Assalamu Alaikum to the New Africa Business Association. And all of their listeners, we're coming to you live on your broadcast this evening from the top of the border, South Carolina. I'm here to introduce to you and tell you about the Great Southern Jordan Ranch and Family Farm in Bullen, South Carolina, south of the border. It's a black organization has been established and is over 90 acres of land in South Carolina. It is using a natural system of growth for animals, namely sheep, goats, and lambs. Not only that, organic vegetables. We just put down our winter crop. And we are a black Muslim organization in South Carolina, sitting on approximately 90 acres of land where we are growing our own foods and raising our own animals, slaughtering sheep. Not only that, we have recently established a tannery where we will be tanning sheep skins, goat skins, lamb skins, some of the finest leather that you can get. Those same sheep, goats, and lambs grazed on our property, grazed on our land. And it's my honor to present to the New Africa Business Association and all of its listeners the managing director of the Great Southern Jordan Family Ranch and Farm here in south of the border, South Carolina, Mr. Bashir Muhammad Jordan.
Walaikum Assalam. Yeah, Brother Bashir, greetings, greetings.
Alhamdulillah, Brother Abdulaziz. Alhamdulillah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your farm?
Yeah, sure. I guess I can start with the history of it. Then my grandfather was born in 1890. He became a sharecropper and from there he saved a little money. And him and one of his friends, they decided to go independently, become their own entrepreneurs. So they started purchasing little segments of land. And eventually they were able to buy over.
You can barely hear him, Brother Aziz.
Let me see if I can turn the microphone up. What about now?
Okay.
That's a little better.
Okay, hold up. Let me see. Excuse me. This is cool. What about now?
Your muscles.
Yeah, it sounds kind of...
It's a bad connection. That's gonna hang up and call back in.
Mic check.
Yeah.
Might be a bad connection.
Right.
It's a possibility because we down here in very rural area, and that could very well be it.
Well, Brother Bashir, if you could get us some information about your your business and all that, we'd be glad to let the, you know, what you're about and all that there. We'll call you offline. Maybe we can have a better reception. And so we can get some more information about your business and that and tell you what we're doing and that. And our next show, we'll be able to not only let our listeners know who you are and what you're about, you can also, you know, try again and maybe to be a little clearer. Your voice is very faint right now to us, and I think it's, as you said, maybe that location or something.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a problem.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, your voice is better right now.
Oh, okay. So what would you like for me to do?
Go ahead and tell us. Just go pick up where you left off.
Okay. I think I left off on the fact that my grandfather used to be a sharecropper, and him and one of his friends, they decided to become entrepreneurs. And he bought a few acres of land first, and then each time he would save money from the fruits and vegetables and meat that he would sell, he would consistently buy more acres. And eventually he looked up. He owned over a few hundred acres of land. As time went on, he sold some to other people. All together, the family had like a little over 100. And that's how the land came about. Grandfather, he had 10 children. He was a Southern Baptist teacher. He graduated from Shaw, he had a degree from Shaw University. And his youngest son, who was my father, his name was Reverend Roger Jordan. He ended up becoming a pastor. And over the years, I was able to give him dollar. And he had some very, very heartfelt and thought-provoking conversations. And on his deathbed, he actually took his shahada. And so my father died in the state of his family. How many love for that? You were able to trace our history genetically from the African Ancestry.com and a few other organizations, and it was discovered that we were from the Mali.
Brother Aziz, we just can't hear it. We just cannot hear this, but I don't want to waste his time and couldn't have him telling us such important information, and we just can't hear it. Because I do know that farming, and when it comes to supporting our farmers, that's one of our biggest efforts. Because, like I said, doing business in the South is where a lot of our investment monies are going to be going, because that's where our power is. And here's a brother that owns a farm, and farm we know can produce vegetables and meats and all kinds of produce, which our communities need. So, brothers, I'm sorry that your message is not coming across, but we're very interested in you and any other farmers that wish to call in, because we want to find a way we can support our farmers. We need to make certain that they have the monies that they need to plant their seeds or whatever it is, as to where we can start buying our produce directly from our own farmers and some of those dairy farmers and field for whatever type farming that they do. It's important that we as a community know them and support them, because we know food is one of the essentials of life. And so that's one of the markets that we must be in. So, brother, I'm sorry we can't hear you, but like Brother Aziz said, and Brother Aziz, if you would, make certain that we can get this brother as to where we can get the clarity and have him back on. Again, brothers and sisters, our markets are...
And we'll thank you, brother.
Yes, indeed, Bob.
Thank you, Brother Bashir. And we'll be in touch with you, Brother Bashir. I got your number. And that's some legum, Rav Turab Bakatu.
And brothers and sisters, our mics are still open. We welcome your comments Again, we welcome your comments. Our mics are open. All right. Well, let me
I did want to say one thing, Brother Bilal. When we do get this information from Brother Bashir, from what I've been told, on that land besides raising the sheep and that they're trying to get it up to 1,000 sheep and goat and that, they have a couple nice-sized lakes on the property that right now people are coming in there fishing on it, as well as Caucasians now coming in there on the weekend. Mm-hmm. As well as camping out. Mm-hmm. And he has Muslims from different groups as well as from Atlanta coming there camping out and doing things like that. So we got to get some more information from him because that's just right down the road. It's a five-hour drive from here. That ain't nowhere. Straight down our
By all means, we need to, and that's one of the ways we can go down and enjoy ourselves. And not and let's let our brothers, our Muslims, our Christian brothers and sisters know. We're talking about our communities. We all are involved.
Right.
So again, I know you hear some of our greetings that we make in our and it comes from the Holy Quran. But we don't want our brothers and sisters to feel like this is a religious takeover. No, this is a community investment. We know that all of us, Muslims and Christians, those are the ones that we need to have participating because those are the ones that should be trusted. And so but like I said, the black community, go right ahead. Our mics are open.
Brother Bilal, this is Suleiman. I'm down here with the director, Brother Jordan, from South Carolina on this farm.
Yes.
And I just wanted me to inject a few things. He's really kind of exhausted. He's been picking up animals and feed and stuff today. But a couple things that you should know about for future broadcasts is that we're in the process of developing clothing, authentic clothing, leather coats, sheepskin coats, gloves, boots, coats. Not only that, we have an organic garden where we've just planted the winter crop where we have collard greens, kale, beets, onions, spinach, and this is all from a natural process.
Why don't you give us your number, give everybody who's listening, maybe, because like I said, it's only a few hours drive. Give them the numbers and let them know how they can get to you and get to your farm.
Yeah.
It's south of the border, South Carolina. The phone number is area code. Nine one seven six three five 1786. Again, that's 917-635-1786. Welcome all to come. A lot of black people are not familiar with kayaking. We have the ability for them to be able to do kayaking, fishing. We have a full baseball diamond for sports, have a camping facility equipped with tents and camping. This weekend, in honor of one of our oldest living Jordans, Mr. Bill Jordan, who was 92 years old that passed last week, we're going to be sacrificing a lamb in his behalf. On the farm itself, they have an outside grill that is set up and been built and in place where they can do four to five lambs at one time. We've had Muslim children come down and camp out. We're in the process of bringing in more campers. Now we have tents. and outside water stations, wash stations, bathrooms, there are two nature trails where you can do walking through and alongside the creeks that lets out into a pond. And this big pond, fishing pond, is a part of anybody that knows anything about South Carolina, they've heard of the Petey River. This is a freshwater river that runs through North and South Carolina, one of the biggest in the state. So these things are available to those who might be interested. And again, that phone number is...
You have a website or anything? You can give that phone number. We want any information we can get, but any website or anything that a person can go to. And also, if you would send us your information, because, again, and not only your business, but all the businesses out there, you send us your information. We put it on our national and worldwide websites, and now everybody all over the country will be able to see what you're proposing.
Yeah.
But again, and of course, you know, New Africa Business Association at gmail.com. That's where you would send your email to us. Again, that's NABASSC at gmail.com. And now we can put it out there. We also ask you to go to our website, and we ask you to become members. Because, again, in order for the New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street to continue to exist, and we want to even grow, we must have memberships. So, again, we go to the New Africa Business Association .com, Washington, D.C., New Africa Business Association .com, Washington, D.C., and go to our membership page and please join. But again, we're going to go ahead and it's almost the 8 o'clock hour. I know the Black Wall Street from down in. In other words, we'll be going to our standard time speakers. We're right now. The first part of our show came from the Eastern Standard Time state. Now we're getting to one to go to the Black Wall Street New Africa Business Association Standard Time, and that will be taking you down to Texas, Oklahoma, and Mississippi, and down to many of the states where we some of our listeners are speaking from right now. So again, I ask, do we Director Stone or Miss Williams, anybody from the Oklahoma Standard Time, or any of you with us?
As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters.
Yes, well, like
alaykum as-salam.
Okay.
Great.
This is
Sister Joyce
coming in from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Okay, Oklahoma City.
Great.
Glad to have you guys. As you know, we back on again. We've been on vacation, and we know we've been here for our first hour, and of course we. Continue to talk about our investments in Selma, Alabama, but now we're getting ready to turn it over to you guys. But before we do, we want you guys to know that insurrection, there's a second one, and it's going on this weekend. So, again, the white supremacist has been given a permission to come back and do it again.
Yes.
My thing is that when does white folks break the law? They can kill. I mean, they kill policemen. They kill. Or they threaten the lawmakers. Even the vice president. When do these folks break the law?
Well, see, the law isn't etched in stone. The law is in miry clay. And as long as you can go in and change and manipulate the law as you want it to pertain to you and you only, then it's no such thing as law. They're just putting some words on paper. Because if the law was the law, then it would pertain to all of us all the time. But it's not. It's
right.
Not that type of law.
Right.
Again, we're telling Miss Williams, it's your show. You and Dr. Stones, we're here. We're participating with you at this point.
Well, brother, yes. We are aware of the rally, the J6 rally for the for justice for the people mm-hmm. who were there causing all that commotion on January 6th.
Yeah.
And that's really something to think about if you really get down to trying to take that thing apart. But we don't really have time, and we'll just hope and pray that all goes well. And this time, they're prepared for them. You know, it's a different regime.
Yeah.
So we'll just, you know, sit back and wait because that's all we can do anyway because it's out of our hands. But now some of the things that, like Sister Rahima was speaking of, and then the brothers, and I just want to congratulate them on that wonderful undertaking and job that they're doing there in mm-hmm. South Carolina. And it surely would be nice if we could, you know, make some provisions and go there for a visit or something. Because not only that, how are they connected to the Gullah? Are they in any way connected to the Gullah residents? You know, because they also have or had lots of property there in South Carolina, all that Hilton Head and all that Nags Head and all those heads. Those properties were once belonged to the Gullah Nation. So, you know, I'd like to know if they have a relationship with or... And as we had spoken earlier, Brother Belial, about us becoming more internationally involved with our brothers and sisters from the Caribbean. You know, of course, the motherland always. But before we get to the motherland, let's get those in between. Because these brothers and sisters, they are coming here, some of them with real resources. And we need to not say, oh, these... No, they just coming here to take over and this, that, and get out perhaps. Let's help them take over and take over with them. Not against them because we won't survive. We need to expand and broaden our horizons. We talk about, you know, that you got the children who are just annihilating, killing one another because of a block. This is my block. This is my whatever they call it, my area. When the whole world is your area, we got to get beyond the homeland, the home, whatever that is you call it. We have to think beyond those shores. We got to think beyond those square blocks. You know, because in reality, they're never going to be yours. Because chances are you're living in some type of subsidized something. And as long as this government subsidized, it's not yours. Even when you're paying for it, it doesn't have to be yours. Because they can come in, they can, just like my brother was saying a while ago, they can declare a moratorium and stop and end a whole lot of things that you're doing. So they have the power of the pen, both ends of it, the writing end and the erasing end. And until we can find a way to work within those ends, then we're going to have some situations to deal with. But we can deal with them together. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take some of that old school togetherness.
Yep.
Back when we were colored. See, people don't want to hear the word colored. They think that's a joke, something to laugh at. But we did more as colored people than we're doing today with all our 4, 5, 6, 7 different names. So I just wanted to throw that out there, brothers, and I'm so happy that you guys are back, and I hope you enjoyed your vacation. We had a little mini jolt, and we enjoyed ourselves, and thank God that we made it safely there and back, and everything's everything.
Hey, fantastic. All right. Well, like I said, this is the 8 o'clock hour. We on the standard time. I don't see a whole lot of participation on our standard time, but the participation we got, let's make it as sociable and as relaxing as we possibly can to get through. But Ms. Williams, we thank you for your comments. Our mics are open. Anyone else
yeah.
has comments? We certainly welcome your comments. Our mics are open. All right, Brother Razi, sounds like nobody have any comments. I'm sorry, go right ahead, Brother Razi.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to Sister Williams. I'm glad she's back here. She's everything. Yeah, fine. Everything's going well. You know, you made it back on safe. And I'm going to say one of the things, sis, that motivates all of this, and it's been a longstanding motivation, even though it may be covered up at times or disguised in a different way. But this racial thing is a real serious issue, you know, and it's been a serious issue in the country for a long time. And the most holy of the holies and all that still show racist behavior. And this is something we got to deal with as a people. We're the only people that talk about unity, how we got to get together to do this and that. It seems like everybody else do it naturally, but this is what the effect of slavery has done to our psyche. So we can't down one another, as Brother Bilal has mentioned to me before. We can't down one another about what we don't do and why they ain't doing this and that. We got to try to figure out more and more ways to get our people to be motivated. Because we're in a time now we're in. And on this show, we do talk about other things besides business, like politics. But you know, we can see what time it is. And I'm not dealing with just the end of time coming or nothing like that. I'm talking about what time it is and what's going on right now in our community as a people, as a group of people, African American people. What's going on? We got a lot of holes. We got a lot of holes to fill. We got a lot of blacks that's got a lot of big money. We got to figure out how we get those to put their money together as well as the little ones. Like Villa Villal would say, there are black investors out there that are doing big things. But the country is so, America is so big and things are so vast, these big investors, they can only work on a few areas at a time. We still got mega cities around here that we're dominating damn near, but in population, but not in business. So it's a struggle, man. As one say, when we're struggling for the right thing in that, to see something move forward that's good for people, for the humanity, you get a big blessing for that, just the attempt to try to be doing something for the better of the humanity, for the better of the people. And eventually, what we're talking about will fall on, you know, some ears that won't be deaf. It's going to fall on some ears, and these words are going to motivate them to want to participate, find out how can they invest in not only what we're talking about, in their own communities. Because we're the only community, as was said earlier in our other show, that our communities, if you were looking from the outside and not one of us, you would see our community as a goal, man, an opportunity. The real estate's cheap. We know in a certain amount of time, in all of these areas in that, it's going to change. But if you got a good business, whatever it is, on the real side, it don't matter what side of town you're on. If you're good and the word gets out, people coming to you. So what I'm saying is people see our community as an investment. Cheap real estate, as they say. Good place to set up business. You'll get everybody's business in the neighborhood and probably bring more. But it's the long-standing businesses that we're talking about, businesses that's going to be generational. And these are the things that the Black Wall Street down in Selma, Alabama, and those investors are doing. They're investing in things that's going to be generational. The John Lewis Museum and that being built down in Selma by the United States Park Service, U.S. Capitol Park Service, the big one. Having a property across the street from this big museum going up, that's a major thing, because what we're talking about here on this show is heard by not only other listeners, but it's heard by people we really don't want to hear this, that's got money, that will do anything to try to circumvent us. And that's when they hear us say we're going to buy property in Baltimore, we're going to buy some property over Southeast Washington. We start naming places where people that's not even part of our community and that we don't even know that's tuning in to see what we're trying to do, and they go circumvent that. So it's important, you know, after we talk about things and that as Bilal said earlier, that we do get together and talk, not on this setting, but in another setting, to really go deeper in finalizing things when one is enlightened to want to invest like that. They say, hey, I want to do this with my money. I'm sitting there holding on $200,000 or $300,000, $500,000, and I'm doing nothing with it. And I don't need to spend it. I got enough money to take care of me. What do I do with it besides letting the bank do it or this and that? I ain't getting but a little bit off it. We're trying to wake up people like that, too, because we wake them up, they can see where it, what you get out of investing in investments, as Sam Jang Realty and Brother Harrison were doing, it's more than any bank could ever pay you back for your investment, much more. And you're on the receiving end after death do you part. Your children and then, you know, whoever you leave all that behind to, or you can cash in because it'll be that valuable. It won't have no problem your shares being bought up, but what they're doing and the investments that they're making, that's something we have to overcome within our communities, as well as those can invest in them now, as Bilal said, invest in them now, because what they're doing is just super. As they would say, super. What they're doing is actually, if minus a bank or a few other things, they look like they're kind of building a Wall Street type setup in Selma, bringing some black business back in and really investing in that. The history that was made there in Selma is a lot bigger than we would think. And they say people visit there all the time going through that area, that bridge, to say they did as a part of history. You can imagine all of the memorabilia that's going to be sold around that in the museum as well as by vendors, you know, taking a shot at that. But all of that is business. All of that is business. And we've been told that since African Americans have been on the pursuit of buying up real estate there in Selma, that the Europeans have come down and tried to buy up a lot of it to stop that movement. And it can't be done because every time we buy something, you know, the word gets out who bought it. You know, and
you know, brother,
what are they trying to do?
You know, so Brother Aziz, and keep that thought going. And like I said, and everybody else who is on the radio, join us. This is not a one person, my person, Isaac. We all are on here together. That's why I open the mic up. So we all can make this a nice sociable radio entertainment. I don't want folks to feel like, you know, man, we got to listen to all this. No, we all are into this together. And as we're speaking, just to make it even more sociable, this is the way. When you come to Selma, Alabama, I'm putting music in the background now, but some of this music is expressing just how we feel about our city once it becomes Selma. So I'm gonna tell you, the mixed media. I'm gonna tell you what Sam Cooke said, and this is what he said when he said, "Meet me in Selma." This is the way he said it. Huh? When we start talking about building our new cities and all like that, we're going to be giving these places, we're going to be giving these places our sound. Selma ain't going to be the place that it is today. Once it's, especially once we are, can you imagine that hotel that we're trying to build there on that property? And I'm asking everybody that you look at the summary, because if you don't look at the values that we're asking you to invest in, there's nowhere in the world you're going to spend a dime. But if you can see the values of what you're investing in and realizing what $5,000 is about to do for you, you won't believe what's being offered. I'm telling you, that little $5,000 we're looking, asking for is on the floor compared to what millionaires have already spent to even have our names on the business roll a call down there. But that's because of those investors who have bought. But those brothers came in with millions of dollars, thousands of dollars. We didn't have that kind of money, but we do have the smaller money where you can go out and buy a car for $5,000 or so like that. So we're saying bring those monies in and let Stallman be our first example. But you have to look at the summary that was sent out, the business proposal, in order to realize the value of what you're putting your monies into. So again, we are like I said, for the next 45 minutes or so like this, our mics are open. I'm going to try to make this as sociable and as pleasant as we can possibly make. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Bilal.
Walaykum salam.
Islam.
We'd like to attach on to what the sister was saying. One of the biggest problems with our community now is something known as the ghost of the plantation. I don't know if some of us have heard about this before. The ghost of the plantation continues to haunt not only us but our characters, in that when our people were enslaved, they were forbidden to do certain things, own property, or be responsible for their families. And today we see this same ghost of the plantation plaguing us. More African Americans are concerned about getting a good job as opposed to owning a good business and providing hundreds of jobs for their own kind.
Precisely.
So what we have to do is look beyond a 9-to-5 and start investing in these areas that Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz are talking about, wherein we will be the owners and maintainers of the property, as well as providing jobs that pays people a living wage, a living wage. That's what's important, a living wage. These are the type of things that we have to look at in terms of investing. So that $5,000 investment that Bilal is talking about, it's a drop in the bucket. It's something that is worthy, something that needs to be done so that you can invest in your own, so that you can have your own. African Americans, as Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz point out, we are greater consumers than we are producers. We consume, consume, consume. But if you flip the coin over and see what is it that we are producing, what is it that we are putting into the market, this is that opportunity to start putting things into the market, to start allowing our monies to circulate more in our community instead of going outside of the community.
So we got to learn how to become producers. This is what the financial investment in Selma and other black communities around the country that the New African Business Association, D.C. and nationwide, is trying to encourage and get us to see through the great people that they are bringing in. So we need to become producers. Real estate is a form of production. You are selling and you are developing and you are cultivating areas not only for people to live, but also for them to do business and for them to, moreover, have control of the business. Many of the people in the music industry today who call themselves rappers that got all the chains and got all this money, they're still going to who? Who are they going to get their money? So they got to look at, we got to look at being what New Africa Business Association is encouraged, promoting us to be. Stop wanting to be just a consumer and start wanting to be a producer. This is something that is worthy for all of us to buy into, to invest into, so that we will have our own, not only in Selma. Selma is a starting point. Selma is a model. It's a model for us to look at and see what can be done. It's a market where money is there, where cultivation is there. Brother Bilal didn't mention the picture of the brother Elijah Cummings just to mention it. He mentioned it for a reason. We have to capitalize off of it. We have to brand ourselves. We have to have our own brands. Look how much money Nike have made off of African-American athletes. Look how much money Wheaties on the Wheaties box. You thought you made it once you made it to the Wheaties box. We have to brand our product and brand our companies so that the world can buy into us. And we can get back to being that black Wall Street that they destroyed. That's what they were doing. They destroyed it. They didn't want it to grow. Do you know that on Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that more white people was coming there to borrow money from the lending institutions? They had the money. They had the banks. They were producers. They had the barbershops, the grocery stores, the clothing stores, and all of those things necessary to motivate and run and feed and clothe. We got to zero in on this. When he's talking about this motel in Selma, that's shelter. That's one of the big three, food, clothing, shelter. You can't go wrong with them. And this is the ideas. These are the core ideas and principles that this New Africa Business Association is buying into with their many partners. That shelter, that motel is shelter, so that you can have a place to live, a place to visit. So I just wanted to encourage and say, brothers, y'all are doing good. We, the people, got to come to peace with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the comments. And let me just
yes,
take you back.
Thank you, brother.
On a few things that were said there, brothers and sisters, as far as what we're trying to do in Selma, if we wanted to, let's say, go to the banks and finance the development in Selma, don't you realize all those big commercial banks would love us to come to them? And allow us to do a loan with them, because if we did that, they realized that for so many years, these projects and these business ideas that we're talking about, the hotels and the professional buildings that were right in Memorial. They realize that, we own these. In other words, by taking a loan, our business associations all over the country is working for them. Because when we open up for business, the first thing we have to do every month is pay our loan. Just like any other mortgage, you go out here and get on your house, your business, or what have you, if you can't pay for the business of the mortgage in cash, somebody's telling you you got to pay $15,000, $10,000, $5,000 a month for your of your mortgage or your loan. You see, we're not talking about any loans. I told you, if we bought that shopping center, we're already into after expenses. We already have revenue. You can't have revenue until you pay your expenses. So again, that's $150,000 that the business that we're talking about buying is already making $150,000 a year. So again, the business itself will I'm saying the business itself, those that are in leasing on that property that we're buying, they still have contracts for the next 2 or 3 years. They're going to be paying our loan back if we went loan, but we're not going loan. I'm saying, brothers and sisters, to build these African-American communities, we're going to be each other's asset. What does that mean? That means that we're going to be each other's bank. So when we go out and purchase as a group, as a community, we already own the buildings. We don't own a dime to nobody. So when we open up our restaurants, or when we open up our hotels, and these restaurants and hotels and blah, blah, blah is bringing us $20 million a month, $50,000 a month in income, then these are our monies after we pay our expenses. We are our own banks. We don't own anybody. We can hire our folks, and we ain't got to worry about borrowing money to meet payroll. No, we are each other's asset. This is what I mean when I say pool your funds together. And the $5,000, again, that wasn't acceptable to these folks who are already in development. But because we are representing Black Belt Wall Street and New Africa Business Association is who Black Belt Wall Street introduced themselves and asked us to become a part of, because they asked us to promote. And not only promote, they asked us to also take on leadership under the Black Belt Wall Street organization, so we can bring back Black Belt Wall Street. Not only in Tulsa, we're going back to Tulsa. Tulsa is going to be a redone. But see, when we went to Tulsa last week, many of us was just getting to know each other. But I do know that when we got there, we ran into white supremacy. We know white supremacy owns Black Belt Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they've been owning it now for almost 100 years since they made the destruction. So again, yes, we're going to go back. But when we go back, we'll go back financially powerful. And we do that by building up the Black Belt districts that that was built up, that made our communities, like I said, all the way from Mississippi to Chicago and New York. I ask you, brothers and sisters, to travel back. And you start talking about the Cotton Club, one of the most famous clubs there was ever in New York City. African-Americans built that classic, beautiful club. All that money came from black folks built that club. But how did they get the money? Black Wall Street. You start talking about Malcolm X. Malcolm, you heard Malcolm speak many a time of the Black Belt. A black district, Wall Street. And many funds went into many of our communities that built our communities all over this country, from Mississippi, throughout Chicago, Detroit. I mean, you name it. That's where recognition and many of these cities where you see African-Americans have a good financial foundation. It started from the Black Belt districts. And many of them are still existing because of the Black Belt districts. And so, again, yes, that is being rebuilt. And that is being rebuilt because we're going to rebuild businesses right back in the black communities, and we're doing it there because that's where black folks can afford to do business and do it at a high scale right in their own communities. So again, that's what this movement is all about. Brothers and sisters, our mics are still open. We got about another half an hour here. I welcome your comments and I welcome your participation because it's going to take so many of us in order to do this. So again, we're still on the standard time. Those of you who are still with us on the standard time and some of you that are still from the East Coast side, we still welcome you and we welcome your comments. The mics are open.
A sweet little angel to me.
When
I'm without her, I know, I know.
All right, well, Brother Aziz, well, you and I, like I said, we're going to.
Yeah.
We just came back from vacation, so I'm still in that vacation mode, as you can see. But at the same time, we came out, like I said, after being out there for 3 weeks, traveling around. I saw all kinds of situations where African Americans are living in a very poor looking, I'll put it there, a poor looking situation. But the only reason the situation are looking so poor in their communities is because there are no businesses. Beautiful homes.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful homes. I don't see very much recreation for the kids, such as baseball, diamonds, and things of that nature, going on in a lot of these communities I've been going into. But I do see these in a lot of the communities all mixed and all like that, which is nothing wrong with that. But I am just saying, as African-American, our communities, where we came from, where we left, and some where we abandoned, that's where your success is at. Why? Because you can afford to build a business in the home and where you were born. And that little black community, or that big black community that you left, that's where you can still afford to put a business. Just think if you put $1 million business in the average black community, what type of business you would have. You know, if I can go down to Midtown south and buy a house, a 7,000 square feet house for about $300,000 or $400,000, just like what I can do if I had $1 million business in most parts of the South. Our mics are open. We got any comments. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Sounds like somebody had a comment. We welcome your comments. But if you don't have any comments, then, brother, but like I said, as a business person, and like Brother Isaac, you know, I'm retired. I should be enjoying vacation, not for 3 weeks. I should be enjoying vacation every week, every day. I shouldn't be on there talking about it. I'm a financial planner. I've been talking about, I got paid for talking about investment opportunities for 40 years. Now I'm out here doing it for free. And my response doing it for free look like it's not valuable. But if I was in front of you telling you about this particular fund or this group of funds or what have you, and you paying me all kinds of money per hour just to sit. But now that I sit here and give you some of the most valuable information that I know to anybody, because like I said, if I had to do all over again, I would take my advice and I would be putting businesses in the black community. I would be doing just what everybody else, but what black folks are doing, because that's what's going to happen. Others are going to take over your community. It's already happened. And if you can't speak Spanish, you're going to find yourself in trouble. They're going to take your community. They don't have nowhere else to go that they can afford but your community. So they're going to be planted in your communities. Folks ain't going to be planted in your communities and live your particular way. They're going to get planted in your communities, and then they're going to start doing their thing. And their thing is not going to be, yeah, right now they don't mind going out to the hotels working. They don't mind going to the factories and working, because they're going to do it until they can afford to get their own. And once they can afford to get their own, you're going to be the one in the factories working for them. You're going to be the ones in the, out there cleaning. And it's a pity. Because why? All of this belonged to the African American, but he didn't do anything with it. He sat around and he just sat around, and then all of a sudden, and it's already happening. It's already happening, and I'm not talking about only in the big in cities. It's happening in the rural areas. Out there where you have these migrant folks who used to call migrants that used to work in the fields, these folks now are living here full time. And a lot of these are Caucasian communities. When the Caucasians move out and go to where they build new communities, rather than the African Americans having a chance to develop their their communities where they've been, no, they're putting the Hispanics in there and they're letting them rent, and they're coming in by tens. I don't know how many of them is living in some of these big old houses. These white folks up, and this is a place right up in Georgetown, Delaware. I watched it. I'm looking at it. I said, I can't believe what I'm. This is the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm telling you right now, those migrant workers that was working in chicken factories and all like that, they own the entire town of Georgetown, Delaware. Now, you go there right now, and you're gonna see all kinds of you're gonna think a small Havana, whatever you wanna call it. But they own all the filler stations. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was looking at. And this is the black communities that they took it from. Brothers and sisters, the message we're bringing to you, it's no joke. And like I said, I don't know why, other than the will of Almighty God, that I am on this station, been on here for 6 years, trying to get African Americans to see what I have seen for over 40 years. Because, again, as a financial planner, my market, my bigger markets that made the investments was African Americans. So the folks who've listened to me for the last 40 years or so, their retirements is going to look pretty good. So I'm saying, if I can set this up for other markets, just think what could be done if we was creating our own markets. You know, and there's no reason why we can't. We've had these things before. I tell you, Wall Street, Booker T. Washington is the one that named that organization. The reason he named it was because of all of the success that he saw that was going on. From the power of the black dollar that was coming in, yes, Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was coming out of Tulsa, but it was being spread all over the South. And so again, that powerful dollar, that powerful income, is still available. And during these economical times, there where this COVID thing is changing everything, you're going to see where it makes a lot of sense to take over, because when it comes to stuff, see, when you start talking about real estate and real estate, there's much more to real estate than selling and buying a house. Most of our real estate agents are just that. They're just agents who buy. But how many titles do Americans to real estate? In other words, we know how to set up our own zoning laws. We know all of the title laws. See, and I'm bringing this because these are the things I know that we don't know, and we should. And this is why, when it comes to talking about, I'm gonna set up a business, I'm gonna start a township, because in townships and stuff. when it comes to most African American communities, do you know we don't even own our own townships? That's why. Why do you think when it comes to your mail coming to you, it comes from a community? But the community that that the zip code is in, is you're in that community. But the dominant person in that community is the white community. That's because if your town is named a certain town, the zip code and all like that, it belongs to the white folks in there. They don't have nothing in there for your black town. There don't, when it comes to, so again, we don't even know what our commercial, we don't even know in our communities. Somebody say, is your community, is it commercial zone? Is it residential zone? You don't know in your own communities. So there's so much, brothers and sisters, that we don't know, but I'm saying we have experts out here that are trying to. They do know these things. These investment bankers that I'm telling you that are doing these things in Selma and going all over the country setting up new townships and new investments in black, they know what they are doing. These are professionals. But they're willing to do this for us because the same way I am a professional working for my community, so are they. And we all know that if we can get our communities to see the value of their own communities and the power of their black dollars coming back to their communities, if we could get them to see that, because we see it, we're professionals, it's easy for us to see. It's our community that for some reason will, I don't know why they don't see it. Because again, if you can see folks buying all over wherever you are, there's somebody selling you something, but you're not selling nobody nothing. What kind of only thing that we're selling each other is dope. Boy, when it comes to that, I mean, number one on that, like you're talking about owning some corn. You don't own no corn. You ain't doing nothing but destroying each other. They gladly let us do that. The police ain't going to stop you from doing it. Nobody's going to stop you from doing it. Because again, that's something that's the business they want you in. But I'm saying African Americans, $1.7 trillion was spent in legit monies last year, but none of it came to us. Why? Because we don't have any legit businesses in our own communities where someone can walk up and make a transaction with you as a business transaction. Brothers and sisters, what can I say? But like I said, I'm back. We're back on vacation, and I'm gonna keep on going until I'm just not going anymore. Like you said, I hate to say that word quit because when it comes right down to it, those of us who are professionals, our communities cannot afford for us to quit. Because the professionals in our communities do quit, it'll be almost like these nurses talking about they're burnt out and they're going to not take care of you anymore. If the nurses stop taking care of us, it's not the doctors, but if those nurses ever said that they were going to stop, they just quit, brother, we don't stand a chance. We're going to just, can you imagine how many folks would die? Again, the professionals in your communities, they know the information that you don't know. In this case, we're talking about financial information. And that summary that I sent to everybody talking about what's happening in Selma, I don't know why in the world we all ain't jumping dead. I mean, where else? What other international hotel do we own where our churches can come by 50,000 and coming into our own resort? The brother from South Carolina was just telling us how they got 90 acres. Not only can they provide food for us when we come there, but at the same time, all kinds of camping and lodging and fishing and all kinds of entertainment. The same entertainment, like they said, you'll run to some nag's head where white folks don't want you. But you're ready to pay all kinds of money to go there to be disgraced. brothers and sisters, New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, and our coming into owning our own. That's the, and our own is not necessarily right here in the United States. You heard Miss Williams talking about a few moments ago in Oklahoma. They got connections there in the Caribbean. Certainly we would love to start. There is no reason why we shouldn't be investing heavily in Haiti and Jamaica and other places like those places. Because, again, the opportunity for growth is not that expensive. And we could take just a few million dollars, and the next thing you know, we're making billions. So we have to start looking into building African-American communities, not only right here in America, but all over America and the Caribbean, because that's where the slave markets and the white supremacy started and is still going on today. You want to destroy white supremacy, economics is what's going to do it. Because white supremacy, Aziz, you look at this thing about Afghanistan, and you look at all these wars that these white folks have had us into, and for all kinds of lies. It's amazing how you're finding out now that not one Afghanistan killed any Americans in 9/11. Not one Afghanistan had anything to do with hurting any Americans in 9/11. Over 3,300 of our citizens, but I'll tell you who the evidence does point to, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Now, how can that be? How can that be? We done went over and fought all these wars and for 20 years. Money. Economics. And so all these, when it comes to this white supremacy, there are many countries that are buying into it. Countries that you wouldn't believe should be involved, especially when you start about Muslim countries being involved with white supremacy. Where in the world is this world going? So we got so much as African Americans that we need to focus on and we need to do, because we don't have nobody else but ourselves. And we have Almighty God and ourselves. Those of us who have been enslaved, and now we're talking about a Northern Americans, Southern Americans, and the Caribbeans. Those are the ones that we need to be about working with and establishing the power that if we would establish, we would have a beautiful place that is called North America. But like I said, this weekend, the real America as it stands right now is putting on a display. I don't know why. Because, again, those white folks who say we're good white folks, why in the world are you allowing folks who have already killed police officers? You've already killed and threatened lawmakers. You done everything. You done destroyed or tried to destroy the Constitution of the country. The Supreme Court now is political. And they're looking at justice. It's what Donald Trump say justice is. White supremacy, brothers. We're living in some tough times. And we got some powerful things as African Americans. And when I say African Americans, all of us that came under that slavery, and we know that up from North America, South America, and all of the Caribbean. We have situations where we got to look for the truth, because again, these white supremacists do not want the truth told by nobody, and they're trying to destroy and killing the truth. Living some pretty tough times, brothers and sisters. So again, but I can say this: economics, business, will establish our independence and all this ignorance that these folks who call themselves white, let them go ahead and just be as stupid as they want to be and carry on as stupid. Because if we are organized as a people, we don't have nothing to be afraid. Those folks are no more a threat to us than a man in a man is in the moon if we show our power. And that is the power, and it starts with economics. Anything else as far as violence and things like that, we'll take care of that. I'm the least bit concerned about that. I'll put it this way, and I'll put it this way with you, Brother Aziz. We both are war veterans, and we got a lot of war veterans out there. We know what happens when we was in Vietnam when Martin Luther King was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And we defended because the race war damn near started right then, and white folks know it. But again, because of the agreement that was made by the black soldiers and the white soldiers that we wouldn't attack and kill each other, even though they had murdered Martin Luther King, we made that agreement that we would not, and because we already know that the Vietnamese in North Vietnam, they'd already told black soldiers, come on with us and we'll destroy all of them. We'll do the same thing with these white supremacists that we did with the French. And they could have done it, especially if we had gone with them. But we kept our patriotism. Now these same white folks is showing like they have a supremacy over someone. We know that they're cowards. And if they want to fight black folks, it'll be the biggest mistake they've ever made. So, again, I'm just speaking as a war veteran. Give us what you left in Afghanistan. Give us that. Let us acquire something like that. And our peoples and everybody, we can guarantee, will be secured from white supremacy. Because white supremacy is a threat to white folks, and if white supremacy is a threat to white folks, think what it is to you as black folks who came from slavery because of white supremacy. So again, that's going on this weekend. We have to be aware of it. Not too aware, because the biggest awareness is our economical picture. That's where our freedom is at. So brothers and sisters, this is we're coming to another end. One of our many episodes that we've been having here on the New Africa Business Association, and we're going to continue to have them. But like I said, we do need your participation. We need your memberships. But biggest, most of all, we need your participation when it comes to community growth, which means we need your money. And again, the New Africa Business Association, we don't want you ever to send a dime to us. We just want your pledge, and your pledge will be noted. And when it's time for you to meet, as to where we would be meeting in a private financial settlement, as to where we're going to buy whatever we're going to buy, you will be notified. But we need to know who you are, so make your pledge, make your intentions, make your comments by calling the New Africa Business Association, and that's NABASSC@gmail.com. I will repeat, NABASSC@gmail.com, or you can go to our web, the New Africa Business Association .com, Washington, D.C. New Africa Business Association .com, Washington, D.C. And please, when you go to our webpage, you'll see many places that we can shop. We're planning on upgrading. We know our website is a little outdated, but we're updating that. That's why we asked for memberships, too, because there are many things that we need to update, upgrade many of our programs. The big thing is going in and looking at our memberships and becoming members. Because we do need your membership. Again, Brother Aziz, in closing, I'm going to, but I guess before we do, we'll give our audience a chance to, say whatever it is they want to say for the next minute or two. If not, Brother Aziz, I'm going to that you close us out.
Yes, Brother Boyle, that was a good explanation Brother Suleiman gave about our efforts and what the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. has been promoting for a long number of years now. And, you know, it's continuing on with the effort. But I think with the Brother Bashir Muhammad Jordan piece of property and his business he's in, that'll be interesting for the community for sure. We'll have to look into that, you know, you and I. But that was a good presentation, and we're glad to see Sister Rahima back supporting us as she has always, you know. And got to give her credit for that. She hangs on in there and, you know, tries to do whatever. But she was really straight up about the fact, you know, you need money to move forward nowadays. And that's what we're about, getting people with money as well as businesses to support one another and promote one another. And with that, brother, you know, we thank all our participants, and I'm going to say, you know, we can let it go, my brother.
Well, Brother Aziz, like I said, until next week, and all of our guests and listeners, Miss Williams out in Oklahoma, any comments before we go off? We didn't mean to take over your station, but
it was a beautiful thing, my brothers, because it gave us an opportunity to interact.
That's what we need to interact,
see the shining sea, because we're in
right.
These people aren't playing with us. And as far as I'm concerned, this whole COVID thing, it's a smoke screen. It's a smoke screen for what they really want to do to us. These people are trying to overthrow this government, and they're calling themselves Americans while they're doing it.
Mm.
So these are some things that we need to be thinking about and take the smoke screen down, because you can't get rid of the common cold. And COVID is related to cold, flu, and flu-like symptoms. I'm not saying what you should do about it, other than try to get rid of it, blast it away, because we don't have time for COVID. We got a big, my mother used to say, it's bigger fish to fry. So brothers and sisters, you guys have a good week. Keep your heads to the sky, because this thing's going on. And these people are calling themselves Americans, but they're trying to make a new America, an America that we're not accustomed to. So they need to get themselves somewhere else and reestablish themselves, because this America's already taken. You guys have a good evening, and I thank you for your time, because I'm enjoying this program, and I shall be, the Lord say the same, I shall continue to listen. Good night.
Good night, Ishella, and again, Brother Aziz. So with that, brothers and sisters, again, next week at the same time, this is the New Africa Business Association. I am Bilal Bynum, your host, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. And
we both are going to say a greeting, good night, and we'll see you next week.
Yes. I'm late.
I'm going to go to the hospital.